The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Good evening, Rick. Would you believe it's Dr. Doom?
What's on your evil mind?
Hold your insulting tongue and mark my words well.
How about this rumor that you are really hired, Mr. Stark?
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D.L. Double G.
Yeah!
And I'm joined by the man behind the sound effects, at Agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
We also have at PCN_Dirt on Twitter.
Hi, Mom.
She's the only one watching for me.
Oh!
And we have at RattyCat on Twitter.
Hello.
We're all back in the saddle.
Yes, sir. And make sure to go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, comic book news, and reviews. Follow us on our social media accounts, which you can find on the homepage of The Click Nation. We're on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. You can also subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, all your favorite audio streaming apps. Also, make sure to go to Dirt's website, popculturenetwork.com.
Cha-ching.
Yeah.
We are part of the Code Slither Podcast Network. Go to cspn.us. Do it today. And while you're at CSPN, make sure to buy some Comic Book Chronicles merchandise from our shop. Go to shop.cspn.us. And remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So, the first book we're going to review tonight is going to be Champions number 3 from Marvel Comics.
All right.
When we left the last issue, it was a kiss between two team members, and we picked up right where that kiss left off.
Right, and it was fairly... The resolution of that was fairly quick. It was within two pages.
I know, right?
what I myself enjoy about this book, even though it's only three issues old, there's some fun chemistry between the team members. Very humorous moments. So the two team members that we caught kissing were the Totally Awesome Hulk and Viv Vision. And last issue, Viv had mentioned how she hadn't experienced a kiss before, so Hulk was more than welcome or more than ready to help her with that.
Which like any teenager.
Of course. He's a willing subject.
Which led to a funny line from Viv and Ms. Marvel where Viv was saying maybe, you know, she tried it with a male.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder what it'd be like with the female. So they all and looked at Ms. Marvel.
Nope.
Ms. Marvel wasn't up for the experimentation.
Yes.
Then they had a debate on who should be the team leader.
Mm-hmm. This might be an ongoing thing.
Yeah, I feel like it should.
You know, because there's no... What I was going to mention just very quickly, there's no clear-cut Robin, you know? I'm alluding to the what I relate this to, which is the old-school New Teen Titans.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, is there someone that's, you know, ready to step into
exactly.
a leadership role?
Exactly.
Well, and they kept, like, there was a couple of times where they actually suggested somebody, whether by, you know, whether it be a joke or not, and I'm hoping it's not that person. Because, I mean, the person who's been kind of stepping up in the first place, who was the one who, you know, named the group was Kamala, and I would, you know, I'd be okay with that. But then, like I said, this issue was like, hey, what about so-and-so?
Right. So, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Right, so basically the so-and-so that Roddy Cat is referring to is Cyclops. And that would be an interesting turn of events given the current state of mutantdom in the Marvel Universe, you know, to see the young Cyclops, you know, at the forefront of another team.
Right.
Although I do like his resume. You know, he gave his resume, and you know, they're like, oh, yeah, we fought so-and-so, 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 and Magneto. So
Amadeus Cha was not impressed.
Yeah. Yeah, Amadeus wasn't trying to because he's trying to he wants the spot.
Yeah,
because he's the smartest. I'm like, yeah, well,
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to be an interesting dynamic, at least in that regard, for a little while. You know, again, when I refer to the new Teen Titans, and I guess maybe some of the other teen books, I guess this has been one part of those stories. But when I remember the new Teen Titans, there's almost a very clear-cut idea of who the leader was. Like I said, it was Robin, because he was the one that kind of stood out from the rest. Whereas in this, there really isn't, you know, one particular character that you see, other than Kamala, I guess. Kamala, I guess, would be the front runner, but she's not as clear-cut because she's just simply not as established as Robin was back then.
Right.
So one question people had about this book was, you know, seeing Cyclops added as a member is, oh, does that mean he's no longer going to be with the X-Men?
Which we know is not the case.
Right. And we also know Kamala will be pulling double duty.
Wouldn't be the first time for, you know, for almost any hero, or for a few couple of heroes, rather.
Yeah, so a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
So they did their civic duty and went to a country to help some women that were being held down by the government.
Kind of we almost saw headlines type of situation.
Yeah, this was a very, very... this is almost like a rip from the headlines, like Roddy was alluding to, a rip from the headline situation. You know, picking an anonymous, you know, kind of made up Middle Eastern country where as a result of you know, extremist religious views, women were being oppressed and treated as less than human, less than, you know, full fledged human beings. So the champions basically were dumped in a situation where they couldn't exactly punch their way out, and you know, it's an interesting take on, you know, on intervention. We'll put it that way. You know, they did their best. These young characters, they did their best to try to stay out of the spotlight as the situation resolved itself. But at the end of the day, what we have is, you know, they there's a temporary solution that they come across, but then you know, obviously these women will be combating, you know, this particular form of oppression for a while. And we end the issue with a cliffhanger that seems to be completely unrelated.
Or is it?
So, all in all, another fun issue.
I kind of find it was a little jarring to go from the whole kissing thing, because as I mentioned earlier, I felt that that was kind of resolved very quickly. But I guess in the interest of keeping things moving along, they went straight from that into, you know, a rip from the headline story to keep things moving along at a brisk pace.
Well, yeah, but if they had lingered on it too long, it would have been a little awkward.
Right. Agreed. So, any other thoughts?
No, I think that sums it all up, besides, you know, the who attacked them at the end of the issue. That mystery. But yeah, still one of my favorite books, and it's already, three issues in, and already one of my surprise hits of 2016.
Nice.
What else we got?
Well, you want to talk about Clone Conspiracy? You mentioned
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we find out who the real puppeteer is, who's behind New You and the Jackal and everything.
Exactly, and Tim. I was about to say, and Tim has just spoiled that it actually wasn't the Jackal.
All I said was behind the Jackal.
Right, exactly, because I think what everyone presumed was that this was some permutation of Miles Warren, the original Jackal, who was actually coming out, actually doing a Marvel Legends Jackal, the old school gremlin-looking character. You know, in the action figures, this it's coming out, it's actually out now, I think, on some store shelves. But yeah, like Tim said, it's actually not the Jackal. And this, you want to talk about who this, it is?
Well, wait, I just want to say quickly, this series, I don't read Amazing Spider-Man every month, but I do tend to look for the specials or the minis or whatever and kind of keep up on those. But this is such a, like, throw everything in the blender. Like, every cameo that we can think of, right. Every character, every curveball,
every concept even.
Every dangling plot since 1972,
yes.
You know, just like yes. Everything is being tossed into this, which I love. It's great. It's like the Wikipedia fan's dream, but it is just so crazy to get through an issue of this.
Yeah, they're like, they're bringing back the Horizon.
How Hand would kind of handle it. Mm. So.
Cool. Yeah.
What else we got?
I'm dying to talk about Unworthy Thor number 2.
Yes.
Talk about
dying,
it.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, because this is an easy click of the week for me. I had a great time reading this. My note is very simple. It does not give away much in the story. I think Tim might appreciate it.
Oh, I like this issue. It's a contender for the clicks of the week. Yeah.
My note on this was F the Collector, who appears in this issue. F the Collector. So yeah, without going too much into spoiler territory, because I know that there are plenty of Jason Aaron fans on the show. I know that Tim and I are the bigger ones, but Roddy, you should probably pick this up just to read through it because it's fairly self-explanatory. Okay. Dirt. You know, you can read this. Please read this.
Too. I love Beta Ray Bill, so I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. give it a shot. This was a lot of fun. We find out exactly where, what's happened to old Asgard in this issue. And it obviously has something to do with who I just mentioned earlier, to who can go F himself. And, while not all that much actually happens in this issue, there's a lot of tying it into Thor's from Secret Wars. And
I'm in.
Yeah, there's an element there. There's also an element that sort of ties us into what's happening in Ultimates right now. So,
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Right at the end.
That came out of nowhere.
Exactly, that did come right out of nowhere. So this issue was a lot of fun. I had a blast reading this because of there's a great sequence in this. It's a very it's a sequence that we've seen 100 times before in various forms of media, where the hero, where someone is put in jeopardy to make the hero do something he doesn't want to do, he or she doesn't want to do. And the way this was done, the sequence was, phenomenal, written by Aaron, drawn by Olivier Coipel. It was just, awesome. Yeah, it was a great sequence. And like I said, F the Collector, easy click of the week for me.
Let's get some DC books in here. It seemed like, you have nothing negative to say about Superman number 12, right, Dirt?
No.
Okay. He's like, well, oh, now I see why. I did see this cover on the stands.
Yeah, my problem is really with the fact that, to me, this felt like a backdoor pilot for a Frankenstein book.
Okay.
Superman and Lois are in it, but they're in it in the most, I don't know if you want to say, like, haphazard way. Yeah, it's just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Oh, let me just set up just this basic premise here. Lois recently went to the Daily Planet and took the role of the Lois Lane from the Rebirth universe that has died and is filling in for her, basically, trying to figure out what she was working on, what she was doing. And then for whatever reason, Lois now has taken, like, another job at another small newspaper, and she's going there to talk to the people, and Frankenstein just shows up thinking that someone who works at this newspaper is some sort of alien creature or monster that's hiding as a human, and so starts attacking. And because Lois is there, Superman comes in to fight him, and that's your setup for the book. So it's just kind of like this random, like, why is she there? Why is she trying to get this job at this tiny paper? She had a job, I thought, at another tiny paper already, mm-hmm. But then she gave it up to go work at the Daily Planet, but then now she's at this, like, what? Like, I don't, but having said all that, the Frankenstein character is fine. Like, I like him. I liked Frankenstein and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it was out before. He's a fun character if he's, handled correctly. And it's, of course, turns into a big brawl, which is always a good time. But it was just weird how it just didn't feel like it was really like a Superman book. It just felt like you would have the Superman guest appearance in the Frankenstein book trying to boost the sales of that one. So why is it so Frankenstein centric in this book, except maybe they want to, like I said, backdoor pilot. It's to test the character to see if he can handle another series.
Gotcha.
So this or Frankenstein?
No, oh my gosh, no.
Frankenstein. Oh my goodness.
And Batman number 12.
All right. So I saw something online about Batman number 12 saying that the origin for Batman has been irrevocably, or at least not irrevocably, but at least changed at its very core. And that sucked me in. Yeah.
Who said that?
I saw something online.
Well, don't follow
me. There's a big old article on a prominent website.
There you go. See?
Think piece?
No, a hype piece, maybe.
Think piece?
kinda, I guess. It was like how Batman's past has been irrevocably changed, or however you say it.
Irrevocably.
Irrevocably, yes.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my attitude going
into it. Agree to disagree.
Right.
Before we get to the what we didn't like about it, I will say the highlight was Mikhail Janin's art. It's nice, two-page, almost every it was a two-page spread and just by every part of the book, right?
Right. Which is kind of a pain when you're reading advanced PDFs, right? Because you're only getting one page at a time. This doesn't make any sense. Oh, now I see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is like the opening splash. I'm holding up my physical copy of it, and this was kind of difficult to interpret, like you said, when you're looking at advanced copies one page at a time.
Tom King seems to be doing a different writing style with his Batman book.
Yes, and actually that was my big complaint with this and with a lot of what he's been doing on the Batman book, because normally I like his stuff, and I really have not been drawn into a lot of, like, there have been some stuff with Gotham Girl and Gotham that I thought was really interesting, but I think because DC with Rebirth, they're doing the twice monthly shipping, he feels like he can let things breathe a little more. And it feels more like a bad Bendis book to me.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It feels like there's just a lot of issue after issue after issue where not a lot happens, but everybody talks about it.
Or Batman only says five words.
Oh.
The same five words over and over again.
Yeah. There's,
that doesn't happen here, but...
Yeah, but I don't remember if it was the last issue, if it was 11 or in 10, but there was like a two-page spread of Ventriloquist and Catwoman climbing through the sewers.
I think it was just like last issue.
Yeah, and it was just so they could have like some conversation about whether or not the dummy is really an extension of him or a separate identity and whatever. And you're just like, this could be three panels in the middle of the page and let's move on. And instead, it's a two-page spread.
Right.
And that's what I feel is going on with a lot of this book, where there's some interesting stuff here for sure. And the idea of him going up against Bane, trying to get the Psycho Pirate to help Gotham Girl, it's a very interesting concept. But just the execution of this as a bi-monthly book, I feel like because it's a bi-monthly book, the story should be, you know, speed railing down the line because you're getting more every month. Here's a chance to really build a big epic story. And instead he's going the opposite direction where he's pulling everything out and expanding everything so much that I got to the end of the issue and it's like, what was really the point of this issue? It's like Batman jumped over a bunch of guys, climbed up some walls, went through a window, met up with Bane. That was it. You know, it was just there so they could draw these random panels of Batman and fill in the story with just, you know, his inner monologue, and that was it.
And even Batman's strategy, unless, like, we find out at the end that it's been this big, this is all part of his plan, it's like, his plan sucks.
Yeah.
Like, first issue, he just, like, didn't he just bulldozer his way into Santa Prisca and, like, Bane threw him in his cell that he grew up in as a kid and tried to drown him, and then Batman had that weird Bane, I guess, tried to break his back again, and then Batman had the weird pose where he was, I guess, like popping his back into place, where he was like all bent backwards, screaming in one full page. It's odd.
It's like I said, there's some neat concepts and the structure of what the actual plot is, I think, is very interesting, but just the way that it's drawn out issue for issue for issue for issue, you know, it's just like, I want to get somewhere. I got to the end of this book and I was like, nothing happened. Like, I was
looking forward to the I Am Suicide, because I was like, cool, he's going to have his own, you know, Suicide Squad, and he's going to storm Santa Prisca and, you know, get the Psycho Pirate and take on Bane. And so far, well, he's lost, what, two members have died, or at least one member's died, which, you know, Suicide Squad is to be expected. The nerd's turned, and Bane is just sitting naked on a throne full of human skulls, right?
Right.
He's not even in his suit. He's not wearing his lucha mask. It's just like some big bald dude.
Yeah, it's a big naked bald guy.
Right. It's Dave Bautista sitting there waiting for him.
Oh, no! Right, and what I was alluding to earlier is that the storyline's title, right, is stated, or at least as a thought in this issue, and it basically reforms the foundation of the Batman origin. I'm looking right at the article that I was skimming.
Does it really, though?
It's far more into deep thoughts. Like I'm gonna, you know, that's like old school Saturday Night Live, right? Deep thoughts.
But maybe I need to read the article, I guess. Yeah, it's an interview, right?
It's a thought piece.
It's just a think piece.
Yeah, it's a think piece on CBR.com.
There is an interview with King, which I need to read. I read the think piece that morning it came out because I was like, because like I said, I read it Tuesday night, and I, you know, I just read it all the way through, and I was just like,
okay,
nothing jumped out at me, which I guess makes me a bad reporter.
Oh no.
And then like I woke up Wednesday morning, and I'm like, you know, doing my work, and I was like, you know, big revelation in Batman. And I was like, wait a minute, I read that. What happened?
Yeah.
What did I miss? Okay. And I also like how we were just talking about the whole issue, and we just already glanced over the big revelation until you just brought it up just now.
Yeah, so, you know, that was the whole point of me actually cracking this open, because I'm a few issues either behind, or I may have skipped something here and there, because I don't remember the Batman Suicide Squad member dying. I'm just like, when did that happen? So I remember Catwoman turning. I don't know if that happened in the same issue, though.
I think it did.
Anyway, so that being said,
Okay.
Go ahead.
So because we talked about this article, I didn't. I did a search to try to find this article.
Yeah. Okay?
And unfortunately, what I found. Let me see if I can pull this up here, so you guys can see it. With Batman 12, the comic becomes as good as Tom King's The Vision.
No, that's not what I'm looking at.
And well, obviously, I know that's not what you're looking at, but I'm looking at this article and I'm going, that is so wrong.
Yes. I hadn't even read this issue, and I don't read that.
It isn't. And I take umbrage with that also, because it took one issue for it to equal his Vision, which was great.
Yeah
here, I'll throw the logo in there so you can see where this is coming from.
I saw that when I saw the name, so I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
But that is quite the overstatement.
Just a bit. That's hyperbole, you know, times 500.
Those watching those listening to the audio, check out the video to see who we're talking about.
Because we're not going to plug them on the show like that.
Yeah, and if you know anything about comics, you probably already know.
Yeah.
So I guess we haven't actually even said what the. Are we just like not going to say it, or just let
people? I was like, are you going to get to it, or you just, you know?
So Bruce Wayne. So the whole issue. As Bruce wrote a letter to Catwoman when she was arrested and put in Arkham I can't remember which one it was, for killing 237 people, I think is the number.
Blackgate,
okay.
Right, and then they're going to, and she's in the midst of being moved to Arkham.
And, you know, Bruce is talking about his thoughts, and it's very Bendis-y, as Dirt said. And then we finally get to the point where he mentions how he took a razor blade to his wrist and, you know, felt the blood come in. So basically tried to commit suicide when he was a young lad.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is, he ties it to Catwoman because he says something about, you know, people like us, we come from this background or something or another. I forget the analogy how he ties it to Catwoman. Basically, they're rough childhoods. They've had these thoughts before. Catwoman, I think because Catwoman wants to die, he thinks, because she knows she's going to be, like, sentenced to death for the killing of 237 people.
Gotcha.
So that's Batman 12. Not anyone's quick click of the week this week.
All right.
Here's a question.
You will be happy, Dirt, when Mitch Gerards joins Tom King on Batman in a couple of months. Or a month.
I hope so.
Yeah. I think they're doing a 2-issue story.
I mean, that gives me hope for the future.
Hmm. All right.
What were you about to say, Roddy?
I was about to say, the question I wanted to ask is this issue going to hurt Tom King's standing in the end of the year discussions?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't want to say that.
Yeah, because
his stuff is too good this year.
Yeah, there's other stuff that's so good that, you know, you're just kind of like, all right, well. But, like I said, I think I know why he's doing it. I just don't agree with it.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm a fan, so I'm letting it slide.
Mm-hmm.
He just might get some points deducted for, like, writer of the year, maybe, which we need to start doing our list.
Yeah. Which was the reason why I brought this up.
Good call, Roddy. Good call.
I think I know who mine is going to be, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right. let's jump around some more. Whatever people read.
Jump around.
How was Nova number one? Was Dirt the only one that read it?
I think Agent 70 read it, didn't he?
Did you?
No. Hello?
Or is he stuck?
I don't think he froze.
He froze.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We'll come back to Nova then. Let's see. We'll put something from my list. Avengers number 2.
Okay. Yeah, I read that too.
I don't really have much to say about this, except there was, you know, time travel hijinks.
Yep. More time crap. More Kang.
More Kangs and some other Kang. A new Kang is helping the Avengers, and Hercules is the only... So last issue, was it two forms of Kang, went back in time and killed the Avengers as babies.
Right, which, it was Scarlet Centurion and Kang Prime, as they're calling them here.
Okay. And was Scarlet, was the Centurion one of the good Kangs?
No. Well, not in this, but I don't think he had been in the past either, now that I think about it.
Okay. One of them was good, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's usually a good, like, some would say,
Oh, that was weird.
Not Ramatut. Amortis was relatively good, I don't know, at one point. But I don't know, the whole Kang thing is weird, because there's, like, many of them.
But, say welcome back, Agent 70, I think.
Yeah, what the heck just happened? It was telling me I had some network difficulties, and it looks like I'm still loading up effects and whatnot.
Okay. Yeah, we're just talking Avengers number 2.
Okay, so we skipped over Nova?
Yeah, I was going to wait for you to come back.
Okay. Is Dirt back? Because it looks like he's on mute.
No.
I'm here. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. I guess I was the only one that dropped out. Okay. That's good. I was just going to ask, make sure that I was the only one that dropped
out. Doing his job of keeping the covers up.
There you go. Do you want to just finish up Avengers 2?
Yeah, so Hercules is the only Avenger not accounted for. The Kangs didn't account for
which is convenient. Hercules. Yeah.
So he
They forgot about Hercules like everybody does, but at the same time, you know, Kang's Beast was with the Avengers who've been there for a while. Well, actually, no, because they're kind of for Spider-Man who just kind of came back into the fold. So,
well, it begs the question: how did they know Spider-Man's secret identity to know who to go back and kill as a kid? Well, you know,
yeah, exactly. Which was the reasoning they had for, the reason that was given for not getting around to Hercules was an interesting one.
Then at what point in time to go back since he's centuries old?
Exactly.
Which I like how Hercules brought that up.
It was an old god friend of his was like, they just forgot. Maybe they thought you weren't a threat. And then Hercules just gave a look. And then it was like, or maybe it's because they didn't know when you were born. So, which is still kind of strange because you would think, I'm like, okay, they could go. Well, so two things that's strange about it. One, they're supposed to be locked into, I guess, this timeline or something, all of the Kangs. Because every time he goes, he makes a move, he creates another variation of himself or something, was what they explained in this issue. So how could they go back and basically get rid of all the Avengers as babies kind of situation? But then you got to kind of just chuck it up as time, you know, because it's still weird. Even with all the stuff that has happened during Secret War and whatever other event that had to deal with this kind of stuff. The incursions and whatnot. I can't remember because it's all starting to blur right now. But it's like, but they can still do that kind of stuff, which is really weird. But anyway, and I like how the Avengers got saved by a fat gold chain.
With a pendant. Yeah.
Yeah. That was given to Hercules. I'm like, all right, there you go. You bring back the big dookie ropes.
Oh no. All right.
So, and at the end of the issue, you know, we got apparently the Vision came up with a plan to try to set things right, and the Wasp was going to be the one to take care of it, thanks to the person that was helping them, who is no longer in the picture, I guess.
Right, just another offshoot of a Kang personality.
That one seemed like it was split, too, when that happened, you know. And apparently something happened to Spider-Man, but although you could see in the next panel, either he was just fine or...
Yeah, because they said as long as they stay near Hercules with the pendant, they can't die.
But they can get poked a lot.
Yeah. You can be poked in one panel and then the very next be swinging. In the
right.
Panel. Exactly.
So, yeah.
All right. Let's see.
So, yeah, Nova.
Yeah, just very quickly on Nova, what I wanted to ask Dirt on this was how he felt on... How did you feel, Dirt, about how they kind of split the issue up between Sam Alexander and, spoiler alert, the newly returned Richard Rider?
I was always more of a fan of the Richard Rider series. My son is a fan of the Sam Alexander series, so, I mean, it just Yeah, I mean, it just was what it was. It was a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and they'll weave them together is what it felt like.
Right. Well, I kind of thought that it was a tough way to start a new series because it felt very much disjointed. It was, you know, my note reminds me that I thought it was just a very uneven issue because they haven't quite set up the status quo yet of what of how they're going to interact or team up or work together. Right. So it was a very tough start.
Yeah, like I can see how this was not a number one. This was number, like, 17 of the other series, whatever it ended at. This is just the next issue. The fact that it's number one is just a marketing gimmick.
Right.
So if you're going into it like, hey, I'm a new reader. I haven't been reading these books. Let me pick this one up. Then, yeah, you're sorry. This isn't for you, actually.
Yeah, this is a tough one. This is a tough one.
This was probably a mistake to renumber it as a number one of a new series.
Right. So, all right.
But other than that, like I said, I was always a fan of the Richard Rider series. I thought it was great, except for the fact that, you know, this was the Abnett and Lanning in their heyday, teaming up doing Nova back in the day.
Sure.
But it just kept getting sidelined by all the big galactic crossovers.
Yeah, Annihilation Part 50, yeah.
Like War of Kings and all that stuff kept going on. So I'm glad that the character's back, and I'm hoping that eventually it'll rebuild the core, because I always thought that was a great strength of Nova, was that you had the whole core of characters. Just, I mean, it's Green Lantern in the Marvel Universe is basically what it is, and I'm okay with that. So I'm hoping that that's kind of the way that they're going. But, you know, like I said, my son is the reason why he reads Champions is because he likes Nova, and Nova's in Champions, so that's his doorway into that book. So if this wavers too far away from Sam Alexander and focuses too much on Richard Rider, he's not going to want to read it anymore himself. So they do have to balance it, I think, and that's going to be kind of tough. But if they can do it, then I think it'll be a very good book.
Sure. Yeah, I kind of dropped out there. I agree with you. I like that you know, they're going to try to reintegrate Richard Rider into the greater Marvel Universe and hopefully, you know, have both of these characters move forward and keep you know, fans of the Nova Corps happy.
Yeah. We can hope. Oh, and we can hope that this actually comes out as a toy that we can buy.
Wait, hold on. What? It has.
The all new, this all new, all different version with the interchangeable heads?
Not with the interchangeable heads, though. I can say that this version, like the updated with the spiky shoulder pads, is out, and I'm thinking about kind of getting it on eBay or on Amazon. It came out with the last Guardians of the Galaxy Marvel Legends set. The Build-A-Figure was Groot, I don't know if you've seen the on the shelves. It has the space armor Iron Man when they put Iron Man in space with the Guardians.
Oh, okay.
Back then, right? So that's when they issued this as an action figure. So you can actually track it down if you're looking for it.
All right then.
Yeah, we like the return of Richard Rider.
That's a nice cover, by the way.
Oh, and then there was also
I do like that.
There was also this one.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, cool.
That's cool. That must have been like a heavy incentive variant.
They don't say whose art that is, do they?
Is it Art Adams?
No, it's Koi Pham.
Oh, okay.
The Teen Titans new artist.
Yeah, he used to do New Avengers back in the day.
All right.
Looks like
what else we got?
Let's say it looks like we're wrapping up with Marvel stuff. Let me just show very quickly the other hip hop cover that came out this week. I don't know if anyone read Slapstick Number One.
Why?
Nope.
Yeah, but it's a hip-hop
cover. There was a Nova one too.
Yeah, right. I was showing that earlier, but yeah.
There's Nova.
Right, and the Slapstick.
For those watching on the video.
Yep, and there's the Slapstick. And that is the only issue of Slapstick I'll ever pick up.
Although, I mean, I get it. Like, you want to have the hip-hop covers, but why would you pass on this Rob Liefeld
cover? I thought you guys had the one before that.
Or even the black and white Rob Liefeld, so you can
appreciate the line work, yeah.
I like how Slapstick looks like a deranged Joker, I guess.
With no nose.
McDonald's or something.
So do you have an actual review of Slapstick?
No. I never opened it. I just got the hip-hop cover.
I will say that my son wanted to read this, so I bought a copy for him.
Which cover did you get him?
Just this regular one. putting extra on that. But he read it. He enjoyed it. He wants to read the next one. And he's like, you want to read it? And I'm like, I'll get to it eventually.
That's funny.
Just leave it there on the table. And sometime
mysteriously disappear.
I'll work my way over to it.
Dirt, I
wonder if they're going to make a new group out of all these idiots they're putting together. I mean, making books for.
Well, these were all from Deadpool and the Mercs.
I know.
Yeah.
Is anyone actually reading the Mercs for Money or whatever?
Yeah. Actually, that's the only one I read now is Mercs for Money.
Also, are they all, because even though what Domino's leading group now, so all of they're all still there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now it's like Hitmonkey, Domino. Gosh, I can't remember who all. They just put together a new team, but then of course they fought the Howling Commandos, so I lost a lot of interest real quick. But I'm waiting for that arc to wrap up. But yeah, and Mercs for Money is the only one I read now.
Mm. All right.
I'm trying to see, do I have any Marvel left? I think that's it for my Marvel. Well, I got two and a half issues or books left.
I got two.
I have one more Marvel. Then we can
Moon Knight.
Yeah, Moon Knight.
Moon Knight. I read this too, Dirt. So tell us about it.
Well, so in a nutshell, they're killing off all the interesting parts of the book.
Which they've been kind of. I mean, I haven't read this issue, but they've been kind of toying with that since the beginning.
Yeah, but I mean, this one flat out does it. Like this one flat out. Moon Knight. The
Hold on.
Okay, there you go. Moon Knight, the suit and tie version from the last series, basically understands what's starting to go on, how all these fragments of his personality are being used against him, and he knows where they are within his psyche, and he has to basically destroy them to reintegrate them into himself, right, so that he can be strong enough so that he can go for his final battle. And so, as much as I've loved this series, what I've loved is the craziness of it and all these different realities, timelines that are, happening at the same time and interchanging and whatever. And that's really been great. But, of course, all good things have to come to an end. And so it looks like they're wrapping up that arc. I have no idea where it's going to go after this.
Right. Exactly. What I was going to say is it could also be a huge fake out, because that's what happened at the end of the last volume.
Well, that is true. That is true, because it looked like it was going to wrap up, I think, in like number six.
Right. And then they relaunched, kind of just continuing the story.
So I can only hope, but I mean, it's another one of those books where it's hard to describe, and it feels sometimes like nothing happens, but when the nothing happens, it happens in a very interesting way, so it's still fun to read. Yes. Like unlike the Batman where nothing happened and you're just like, why do I care about this book right now? This is like nothing happened, but it all happened in his brain, so it did happen, and it was really kind of cool.
Agreed.
All right.
What do you guys? Yeah, what do you guys have left?
I've got, Motor Crush number one came out. New series from the creative team behind Batgirl of Burnside over at DC. Brendan Fletcher, Cameron Stewart, and Babs Tarr. It's sort of like a futuristic Fast and Furious style book where the woman on the cover, Domino Swift, I think her name is, she's a motocross racer. And she's got like a team behind her father and the mechanic, and in the races, they're marketed by, they have these little orbs come around to the different racers and try to, get sound bites and video to sort of hype the races and whatnot. But we find out that Domino is doing these illegal street races to win, this drug called Crush. So, of course, a lot of things go on with that. She loses her stash that she originally had and goes to steal it back. And so that's pretty much the issue. But I enjoyed it. I like the art, and the story is easy to pick up, even though it's a characters we're not familiar with. And they do a good job of illustrating, movement, because everyone complains about, movements, like car chases and stuff. It's hard to depict in comics, but they do a good job with the motorcycle races. So, good number one issue.
Cool.
And Nightwing number 10. Nightwing goes to Bloodhaven, a.k.a. the Blood, as the residents call it. He's, when he got his new number one back, new number one issue, he quickly went back into the spy game of, infiltrating the Court of Owls, or the Parliament of Owls, I think they started calling themselves. And so he never got to be Dick Grayson again, so now he's left Gotham to go and, be himself again and learn, relearn who he is, quote unquote. He gets a job at a local community center to help kids. Of course, he gets involved with crime that's committed, and I guess some old Rogues Gallery Batman villain is reintroduced in the DC Rebirth. Crap, I forget the name of the character already. Let me look it up so I know who it is. But art is by Marcus Toe. Tim Seeley does it. Oh yeah, there's some funny bits where Dick's in his apartment in Bloodhaven, you know, trying to get reacquainted and enjoy doing as, I guess, as he was a kid growing up. So within 9 minutes, he's flipping through a book called Robin Hood, looking at TV, calling Roy Harper, a.k.a. Arsenal, and then moving on from Robin Hood to Robin Hood Rebirth. He's caught reading. Yeah. Thought that was a little funny little bit.
Sure.
But the villain is named... Actually, I guess there's two villains. I'm not sure which one. All I know is I saw an article saying like how Nightwing number 12 reintroduced a Batman villain or... Yeah, Batman villain. So I didn't read the article to see which one they were referencing, but there is one character... There's two characters. One called Gorilla Grimm, who's, of course, affiliated with Gorilla Grodd. And this woman named... Where is it? Oh, at the top of the page. Facer. Okay. I don't know if that rings a bell to any longtime DC readers, but there you go. And I only read half of Green Arrow number 12, but it was a fun issue.
There we go. I was waiting for that.
Yeah, I was like, it's not playing. No, not that. It was the Facer.
Out the Facer.
Reference. Okay. I was just like, where's the damn crickets?
But Green Arrow, like I said, I only read half the issue, but it's Oliver heading back to Seattle to reclaim his company, and I guess his name, because the city of Seattle thinks he's dead, but he's got his old Robin Hood shtick going by creating a treehouse, I guess, in the outskirts of Seattle. Hmm. So, Green Arrow number 12.
All right, well, I've got some DC books I can throw at the wall, see what sticks. We got Death of Hawkman 3, which is still doing a good job of giving you reasons to like Hawkman and Adam Strange. And to like want to see more of these characters. The problem is that the villains that they have them going up against, it's just, they're not that impressive. It's trying to be a, like, I'm trying not to spoil it, but it's trying to have this feeling of like a family member turning against a family member, but they haven't done enough with this other family member for you to care in this series. Like, mm-hmm. You care about Adam Strange. They've done a lot with him. You care about Hawkman. They've done a lot with him. And then they bring in this other character that you're supposed to care about, but they haven't really done anything with this person other than the fact of, say, what the relationship is. And then suddenly, boom, they're at odds with each other. So if I think they need to do a better job of building up the villains as being someone that you're actually you're worried about the fact that they're traitorous, or they seem like more of a threat. But they just don't really seem like you're there yet. So so in that regard, I'm kind of let down by it. But as far as, you know, liking Hawkman, liking Adam Strange, and thinking I'd like to see more of these characters, and, you know, if they did do another Justice League of America, this is the way they need to be portrayed, and the way they need to draw them into the story, because that part of this has been pretty good. We had Justice League, and this, the one good thing we got out of this book is there's a giant villain brawl, villain battle royal at the end, so you get to see just basically all the bad guys show up at once, and the Justice League basically freak out, like, how do we handle this? But the problem is that, and I'll do a quick spoiler if you want to ring the spoiler bell.
Okay.
Go ahead. The problem is that this guy who's a hacker wrote this app and then hid it because it was too powerful, and then his daughter found it, and apparently she's smart enough to incorporate it into her own app and puts it out there, and the app comes alive, and because the Justice League in a battle destroyed this guy's wife, the son is talking to this app about what it would be like if the Justice League were destroyed, and so that's why the app is making all these villains appear to attack them. And it's just like this very convoluted, and it gets to the point where you're like, okay, so this, how is this little girl smart enough to grab the hacker dad's code and put it in her app and then sell it to a company so it gets put out on the market so that people start using this app? Like, it just, like, there's so many things that doesn't make sense. Like, they're trying, you know, to put together like this big epic battle, but mm-hmm. like the way they get there just doesn't work in the story. So like I said, it's great that you get that bad guy throwdown at the end, but to get there is a lot of leaps of faith.
I was going to say, how is Hitch's writing on this so far?
Not great.
Because I have not read an issue, a single issue. So
I almost gave up on it actually during the first story, but then I thought, no, I'll stick it out, and you know, I mean, I like Justice League.
I distanced.
I'm just kind of hoping at some point down the line it gets better, but yeah, it is not their strongest material right now.
Got it.
I was about to say, some of the stuff you were talking about kind of remind me of Ant-Man, which sounded like it might have been done slightly better there.
But it's not done humorously at all. It's not even like tongue-in-cheek. Like, it's right. Played like, oh, this is serious, and this is dire, and
right.
Whatever.
Yeah, I was about to say, Ant-Man was, you know, not even tongue-in-cheek, but it was just like a great, like, twist on current apps that, you know, have
yeah, but it was commonplace. Fun at it. It was
yes,
like
exactly.
Yeah, and this is not. This is more along the lines. If you ever saw that bad Edward Furlong movie that was, I think it was called Ghost in the Machine.
Oh my God! You totally brought up Edward Furlong. Hasta la vista. Oh my goodness.
Meth is bad. So, not good. But I'm still holding out hope. You know, it's okay. But I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why though, because this next book actually has kind of pulled things together, in that Cyborg.
Okay.
Wow. Yes.
Cyborg. This was actually really good. One of the things that makes this so good is that there's been a lot of little dangling threads over the last several issues where you're just kind of wondering, like, how is this ever going to come to a head? You know, how are these things related? And in this issue, they start relating, and these little pieces start coming together. I like this variant a lot, and this actually plays into the story quite a bit. This character variant, the female cyborg, so to speak, she is there to be the love interest and foil in the story. So it plays on the ideas of what's been going on with Cyborg and whether or not he's a real person or just a facsimile. It's that, you know, RoboCop 2 thing going on. Is it a real person or just a machine made to look like a person? Does he really have a soul, et cetera, et cetera? And then now there's another one. And so there's like a natural attraction between them because they have this in common, but at the same time it can go too far, especially with all of the underhanded things we've seen going on recently with a lot of the subplots. So the story's done a good job of building, and it pays off pretty well starting in this issue. So the artwork was pretty bad in the last half of the last issue. You know, it was almost enough to make me walk away from the story completely, but I was like, no, I'll give it one more issue, and I'm glad I did, because this one does a good job of paying off.
Good.
And I suspect there's a part of the where Cyborg and Variant have coffee. I suspect that part's probably going to come up, or should come up in another way. But I read this. This was a great issue also.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we had to slog through the last issue to get to this one. But but yeah, here it redeems itself. And then my final one, and this is actually a click of the week for me, which came out of left field and I didn't expect. But that's actually Aquaman 12. Aquaman, this is a series that I read the first couple issues and let it get away from me. Mm-hmm. And I recently caught up with it. And Dan Abnett is doing a really great job on this book. He's layering so many stories. He's got, you know, just plots layered in such a way that as soon as one resolves, there's three more bubbling up, ready to explode. And you can see six more in the background working their way through. He's just got so much stuff going on in this book. And what it's come down to in this particular issue is that what happened there? There we go. The bad guys who have been doing some dastardly things in the background at the hands of Black Manta, they have attacked the United States and made it look like Atlantis is the cause for it. There was a misunderstanding before between Atlantis and the United States that led to some international issues. But now this time, they're taking it a step farther and blaming it on Atlantis, which brings this giant war, and it's causing this big epic showdown, and Aquaman's caught right in the middle of it. And it is just, you know, like I said, I had given up on this book, and just for like last week or Thanksgiving week, you know, when DC only had like four books out, whatever it was, I just decided to go back and get caught up, and I'm so glad I did, because there's just a tremendous job of just building the story and layering and layering. And, you know, like I said, you can see all this stuff going on in the background, and as soon as one thing resolves itself, you have all this other stuff just pop up and is ready to go because of the way he's been telling the story. So I've got to give him a lot of credit for this book. I actually went back and bought physical copies of all of these.
Nice.
So this is definitely, they're all bagged and boarded and going into the library for further reading, you know, down the road, go back and read them all and the entire series in one big chunk. But yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff going on. So that's going to do it for me with, I think that's everything I had on my list this week.
Okay. Well, I got a couple of them.
Okay.
What's that?
Yeah, I was going to ask if anyone had anything else.
Yeah, so I got a couple of them real quick. Wonder Woman 77 meets the Bionic Woman. So right off the bat, we kind of get, as I said in my notes, it's the team up for the ages because we have, you know, I still haven't read that much of the Wonder Woman 77 book, but, you know, having remembered what the series was, I didn't really take much to pick up on it. So apparently Jamie and Diana Prince, who work for two different companies of the or agencies of the U.S., are supposed to get together for this one meeting that they had because of some things are going on. But before that happens, a bombing or something happens, and Wonder Woman comes to rescue, as does Jamie, who just so happened to be heading in the same direction. They take care of that, and then they go to this meeting. Jamie kind of picks up really quickly that Diana is Wonder Woman, but you know, you get a little bit of that during the course of the issue. And then some plans get laid out to kind of protect some motorcade or something's going on, but it ends up, it looks like it might be like a swerve, I guess, because one of the buildings get attacked and the ladies handle that, and that's kind of what we have here. So Steve Trevor shows up for like a half a second, it's an interesting read. To have these two together, I'm not sure. I can't remember how many issues this is going to be. I should look that up, but it doesn't really matter right now. But it was a pretty good starter issue for what this was. So, and last but not least, which I'm going to probably go ahead and say this is going to be my click of the week. All said and done, Transformers: More Than Meets the Eye, Revolution Number 1.
No kidding.
Yes, this was a silly issue. And because at first I wasn't going to read this, and in fact I stopped in the middle of reading this because of the fact that I was like, well, I'm not caught up, and I know Dirt is the only one that's, I think, kind of trying to catch up on the Transformers stuff in the first place.
I am so far behind.
I am too, which you don't really necessarily have to. Well, you do and you don't, because it's like the recap page might end up spoiling something for one of the books, for the, I think the book that just ended.
Isn't this all leading to like some big crossover book with?
Well, that's just it. Revolution is over, I believe. Well, wait, no, I take it back. Well, Revolution itself is over, and yeah, there's supposed to be a book that's coming out of it. But this issue, I don't believe, has anything to do with that. In fact, it has relatively not that much to do with Revolution at all, with the exception of you see some characters kind of come in that are representing the some of the disparate players. The funny part about this book is the way they handle it. So, like I said, this has nothing to do with like the regular Transformers. This is pretty much like the Scavengers, if you know who they are. It's some shenanigans that happen. And let's put it this way, because I don't want to really give it away. But all I can say is, if you have seen the Instagram, my Instagram, CB Caps, if you've seen the couple of panels that I put in there, you will get how silly this book is.
Okay.
And and neither one of them kind of give away anything except for the fact that this is a really, really silly book. And like I said, the story in itself has nothing to do with the main Revolution stuff. It's just kind of a side thing that is going on with, you know, with some really, really interesting puns and some callbacks that happen in it. And like I said, no one in this book has anything to do with anything Revolution-wise, or as far as I know, the main Transformers series as it is. So this is pretty much the very definition of a one shot. But it was still fun to read. And like I said, at first you got a G.I. Joe, a quote unquote a G.I. Joe named MP3 in this issue. But turns out that person is well, there's a lot of things that's not what they seem to be in this issue until you start getting to the last half of it. So, but like I said, you get Mask is represented in here in a little bit. G.I. Joe, of course, Transformers, even a little bit from ROM kind of comes into play, but not, you know, whatever. There it is. The Decepticons have an online chat forum, which you see in the beginning. Like I said, this is how silly it gets. And that kind of has that plays into what happens later on, because there was a meeting that happens. And like I said, this is just a real silly story, and you should read it even if you're not up on what's going on in Revelation, mm-hmm. Revolution, or Transformers in general. Just don't read the recap page if you actually want to read.
How's the art?
The art's pretty good. I enjoyed it. Like, it's pretty clean.
That's been an issue lately.
Yeah.
There, some of these IDW books.
Yeah, Transformers, though, is usually pretty good.
Exactly. So, and this one is pretty much that. So,
cool.
But yeah, definitely it was a fun read. It was really, really stupid.
Okay.
In a good way, I should say.
All right. Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Clips of the week time.
Easy peasy. Easy peasy. The Unworthy Thor number 2 for me.
My list was down to Unworthy Thor number 2 and Champions number 3. And I think I'm going to have to go Unworthy Thor number 2 as well.
Yeah!
It's hard to deny the Chris Nair and Thor books when they come out of each week.
And this one had great moments in it too. So
Make a note, Roddy, for our year-end awards, like which title had the most clicks of the week.
Oh, so now you're giving me work to do, damn it.
Yeah.
All right, well, I went with the long shot.
There's one we've talked about the most, so.
Yeah, all right, I'm pretty sure. I won't give it away, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that what
the winner would be. We're like, yeah.
So you were saying Aquaman number 12?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've got my long shot this week was Aquaman number 12.
Cool. So you got me kind of curious, like, do I want to give this a try again?
Yeah, but again, you really got to go back and read the whole thing because of the way he's got it layered. You know, it's not the easiest thing to jump in right in the middle. I mean, you probably still could do it, but it just feels so much more satisfying when you see all the little things develop into big things.
Okay.
Yeah, and like I said, Transformers more than meets the eye. Revolution number 1. I said Champions was good this week, but the Transformers one was definitely a pick.
Cool.
Cool. You almost had me wondering, should I change mine to Champions just to get, like, some variety in there? Because it was good.
Yeah, it was.
You know what? Would that be cheating?
No, too late, too late.
Too late? Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll
stick. Listen, those are the two that I had considered. Right. Yeah, I was about to say, those were the two that were in the running for me also. So, you know, Champions and Unworthy Thor. So those were worthy picks.
All right.
Or Unworthy in one case.
Oh! And on that note, we will run right into the ad read at the midpoint of the show. This episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles is sponsored by Busted Tees, your home for funny, awesome, cool t-shirts that are sure to get your friends' attention. Busted Tees puts many of their popular shirt designs on sale each week. If you go to the Busted Tees website, you will see that they actually have an offer with a code for $10 t-shirts right now. So go there right now and look at t-shirts on the superhero side, such as the Batmobile, spelled Bat M-O-W, with Batman sitting on a riding lawnmower that looks like the Tumbler. And I can't even with that one. And the Merc with a Mouth in Dr. Seuss form. Just take a look at the website and you'll see what I'm referring to. To help keep our podcast free, order from Busted Tees by going to cspn.us first. That's cspn.us. Then click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link. Click on the Busted Tees banner and then shop for awesome t-shirts and use that code for holiday shopping. Busted Tees through cspn.us. Do it today.
Before we get into the cinematic news of the week, we forgot to bring this up last week. But last week was the 4-part CWDC week TV crossover with all their 4 shows, Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and The Legends of Tomorrow, taking on the alien invaders, the Dominators. Was I the only one to watch?
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. I will say it was fun. They tied into The Flashpoint, which Barry created this season on The Flash. So it had ripple effects across the 4 deep. Well, I guess it really only affected 2 shows, Arrow and Flash. But it played a part in the crossover. It was fun seeing all the heroes battling together. Arrow's episode was actually its 100th episode, so it brought back some of the original characters like his parents and Deathstroke made an appearance. I'll just say a Deathstroke. But, it was good times.
I hear Legends has a nice bit between a couple of characters.
At the end.
Yes.
A little Easter egg for fans of.
You kind of figured was going to happen at some point.
Honestly, you know what? I actually forgot he.
This
person had another role.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been so long now. All right, so now the cinematic news of the week. The Teen Titans, the Judas Contract teaser poster was spotted online. Actually, not online, just in. It's a part of the Blu-ray release of Justice League Dark. They always have like a little section where they tease upcoming project. So I guess we'll begin the Teen Titans animated film perhaps in the future.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the Judas Contract.
It's a great storyline. It's actually it actually hasn't really dated itself. It's actually something that you can read in trade paperback format, in all honesty, and it'll be still a great read. You know, there's definitely some dated, you know, portions or aspects to it, like character-wise, but, you know, just in terms of, like, if you're reading an insulated story from front to back, it's still pretty good.
Right. And Justice League Dark is not even out yet, right? It doesn't come out until next year.
I'm not sure when it comes out.
No, I'm not speaking into my phone, but there's a reason why I'm holding my phone.
Okay.
It will become apparent shortly.
I was just curious. All right. Spider-Man Homecoming trailer actually debuts tonight on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show.
Yeah, as soon as we get off.
I'll just wait for it to pop up online after. Actually, you know what? I'll probably watch Jimmy Kimmel.
It's like the only time I ever watch Kimmel.
Yeah, whenever there's a movie trailer for a Marvel film. Which is this is also a good time to remind people that Star Wars, or is it Rogue One, a Star Wars story comes out next Thursday night.
Yep.
We'll be, at least, three of us will be going to watch it?
Yeah.
Separately.
Yeah.
Come
on, Turd. Let's make it a clean sweep.
So more than likely there won't be an episode next week.
It'll be the Dirt Comic Book Chronicles next week.
Sure, why not? I'm down.
I can create it.
I've got the login. I can get on the YouTube.
Yeah,
page.
By all means.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll bring in some stringers. I can go. You know, I really think that what was that book? Jungle Fantasy, where they all got naked, was a really good book.
Oh, no.
That was fantastic. I think that was a great book, too.
Oh, no.
I agree. I think those are the types of books that we need more of. Yes, I think you're right. We need lots of those.
You need to see the video on this. You need to see the video on theclicknation.com/live.
Now I want to watch the show.
All right.
They'd be all out of breath 30 minutes into the show.
I don't care anymore. Just read what you want.
Can read all the books.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah, we'll be going to geek out over the Spider-Man trailer later on tonight. I'm sure there's another trailer on this list of news that we'll get to, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. Right next.
Yep. Might as well go for it, because I'm about to say you missed the news, but yeah, the next one is about the trailer.
Did I miss something? Oh, his costume. You will see it in the trailer.
No, not that one. That was another one, but don't worry about it.
Oh, Mr. Mitzel, whatever, is coming to Supergirl?
Yeah. They're going to put Mitzel Blick on Supergirl, because they're putting pretty much all of the hits.
Cool. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 trailer, pushes the right buttons.
Oh, it was so awesome! Oh, it was so awesome! I've watched this trailer a million times. I have contributed to the play numbers. That's playing right in the background. It was so awesome.
It was the second highest stream trailer or something until the Transformers one came out, I think.
Something like that. Right? The Transformers one, jeez. But in all seriousness, you know, this trailer was, you know, so awesome. It actually has the, you know, I'm just going to play a snippet because the music in the background of the trailer I had never heard before. And I wanted to open the show with Showtime A-Holes. But it was awesome. And even the song here that I'm playing a small snippet of apparently went to number one on the classic rock downloads on iTunes as soon as this trailer dropped. It's Fox on the Run by Sweet. So I had never heard it before. It's immediately caught in my brain. It's catchy as hell. And the trailer, like Roddy's note says, pushes all the right buttons, does not give away much, if anything, of the story of the movie. And it's just great quality fun.
I am Groot!
Yeah, there's a lot of great fun in this trailer. Please go out, watch it, because it'll just put a smile on your face. If that's not the best thing that you can say about something, you know, it actually, you know, you just watch it and you just have fun and it'll put a smile on your face.
Did Mantis look weird to you guys?
No, that's like a version. They're like kind of mixing and matching versions of Mantis on that. So it didn't look that weird. I know what you're talking about though, because spoiler alert, the recent versions of Mantis have her looking very green. Whereas the earlier Mantis versions had her looking very human, and the version that's in the trailer looks very human, but they incorporate a lot of the costume choices from later versions of the character.
Hmm. Hey, which reminds me, something I forgot to bring up in Avengers number 2, which I hate. Sorry that this happens, but so they end up at the Temple of the Priest of Palma, and that was part of me that really, really would have enjoyed it if, like, say, Moondragon or Mantis would have shown up.
Yeah, I thought that was a great callback to that, and I thought that was going to happen as well. There's no reason why it might not still happen, though, because that's what's happened. You know, that's sort of what's teased for the next issue.
Yeah.
And see, we have the sweet Christmas news of Netflix announcing the Luke Cage Season 2.
Yay!
And in sadder news, Green Hornet star Van Williams dies at the age of 82.
Rest in peace.
Arrowverse crossover becomes the CW's most watched week in 6 years.
Okay. I apparently did not help with those numbers.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., LMD, and a slingshot digital series are coming.
So yeah.
First half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was, you know, I guess titled Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider, because Ghost Rider was a part. He's out of the picture for now, so now they're going to focus more on LMDs.
Hey, and I'll be down for a slingshot series. She's pretty dope. So
you'll get your wish in a digital series for now.
Yeah.
Marvel's The Inhumans TV series borrows Iron Fist showrunner.
Okay.
Disney XD's remastered DuckTales series will begin airing in the summer of 2017. We got a poster for Power Rangers that showed off their Zords. And that's it for cinematic news. Let's get to some comic book news. Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture announces 5th annual Black Comic Book Festival.
Cool.
And it will take place.
Yeah, the Schomburg Center. Right. Okay. Good.
Yeah, Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture announced January 13th through 14th, 2017, as the dates of its 5th annual Black Comic Book Festival. And it will take place over those 2 days at the Schomburg Center in Harlem. It celebrates the rich tradition of black comics, featuring panel discussions, film screenings, cosplay, and exhibit tables with premier black comic creators from across the country.
I'm going to have to try to make my way up there. I've been to the Schomburg Center before. It's a nice setup. I'm kind of curious to see how they set it up for a comic book festival, though. I guess it wouldn't look exactly like a con.
Yeah.
It's probably safe to say.
There's a new sports-centric Kickstarter called Force from Sean Pryor. Writer B. Alex Thompson and artist Jay Reed. So check that out.
So when I saw this, I immediately thought Sports Stars, if anybody remembers that cartoon.
Is that the one with Jordan and Wayne Gretzky?
It was.
Yeah.
Oh, Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and Sports Billy, but that was less of an issue.
We got the final bits of our X-Men Resurrection creative teams. Weaponettes. Is from, who is that? Greg Land and Greg Pak.
Oh, why can't Greg Land go away?
Yeah. Oh. They like him over there in the X office.
Jeez.
And as soon as I saw Pak mention this news, which is where I got it from, I said, yeah, there's going to be some really upset people about the news of Greg Land. And sure enough,
it's like, yeah, Weaponettes. Oh, great.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, oh, Greg Pak. Yay, Greg Land. Oh.
So the roster will consist of Old Man Logan and Sabretooth running the team with Domino, Lady Deathstrike, and Warpath making a return.
Yeah, nice to see Warpath.
Speaking of characters that are crossing teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Domino's got to get, you know, in more, what do you call it? More exposure. Coverage.
More exposure, yeah.
Like more exposure is the word I was looking for, since she's, I think it was just announced today that she's going to be in Cable 2.
Yeah, I think so.
Not Cable 2, Deadpool 2.
Wait.
Deadpool hasn't
Deadpool been cast. 2, yes. Cable hasn't been cast yet, yeah.
But Deadpool, Domino will be a character in the movie. And in comic book gaming news, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite hits in 2017.
Yeah! Hold on, that's, and we can't keep clapping enough for this. Because this is going to be the reason why I get a PS4. For real.
Wait, okay.
Yeah, this will be the reason I get a PS4, is to play Marvel vs. Capcom, the newest version.
Which it'll be out on pretty much all current consoles, but... Well, minus the Wii U, but nobody cares about that anymore.
What about the Nintendo Switch?
That's kind of interesting, but you know, we still need to get a little bit more on that. So, but I'm liking what it's going for. But like, the Nintendo kind of has a way of having these ideas, and sometimes they don't go fully. There's neat ideas that don't always get the software they need.
Right. They're also re-releasing. Did you put this in the news that
that's probably in
Capcom 3?
Yeah, it's out right now for the PS4, and it's coming to the Xbox when the game, around the time the game comes out.
Gotcha. Right, because Marvel vs. Capcom 3, or Ultimate, the Ultimate version was pretty cool, because they put a lot of new characters in there that we had never ever seen before in the Marvel vs. Capcom universe, and it's a lot of fun. It actually made me break open my... pop open my PS3 for the first time in ages, and kind of rerun through a couple of games with that.
You said pop open. I thought you were going to say piggy bank. I thought for sure that's where you were going.
No, sorry. No, I do have a PS3, but it kind of doubles as a glorified Blu-ray player right now.
Right.
That's what mine has been for the last couple months, year.
Yeah.
So Captain America and Morgan are revealed as playable characters in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yeah, they had extended a trailer.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, you're underwater.
Rider's underwater.
Great. Great.
I just was I was going to mention that Iron Man and Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, were the playable Marvel characters highlighted in the footage that was released at the PlayStation Experience. And on the Capcom side, it was Ryu and Mega Man.
Well, right. Wait, how do I sound?
You're good.
Okay. Yeah, but so Ryu and Mega Man was in that first initial trailer also. It's just right. Like whatever this extended one was the one that showed Captain America and Morgan from Darkstalkers.
Valiant teases new Ezio Manowar series in 2017.
All right.
Captain Britain is the most popular U.S. Avenger.
Really?
So I showed, at the end of last episode, I showed the image of all 50 states that they had put out already. And even then they were talking about this. So yeah, apparently Captain Britain seemed like the most ordered, followed by Deadpool as the most ordered covers. And I can't remember, they said, then they go into like who else was in the running. So
I hate these 50 covered things though, like with the, what was it, Justice Society or
Justice League of America?
It was Justice League of America.
And all they did was what, switch a flag?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I still had that one up. But yeah, like I said, they had some weird pulls for some of the, well, not weird pulls, but weird pairings for some of the states. But then again, being that most heroes are out of New York, they really couldn't just do that, you know, kind of stuff. So they kind of had to just spread them all out. Like, they think they had the thing from Connecticut or something like that. I'm like, you can't do that. That's wrong.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yancey Street's not in Connecticut, damn it.
But is that
the Batman Telltale series episode 5, City of Lights, arrives next week, and that's the final episode of the first season.
That is
okay.
It's been pretty good. If you haven't played Batman Telltale series, it's actually pretty good. Like, just like I said, I think last week or whenever the last one time we talked about it, it's less actiony than the other Batman stuff, but there is a little bit in there. It's more story driven than action-driven.
And there's a free Flash comic in the DC Essentials Graphic Novels catalog, 2017.
Okay.
I put comic in quotes because it's only 2 pages.
Oh.
And I think it's like the intro to the catalog from what they're saying here, so I don't know. They kind of misrepresented that a little bit.
Simon Sasperger joins DC Suicide Squad with January's issue 9.
Okay.
Which is a tie-in to the Justice League versus Suicide Squad event. Fantagraphics launches Superhero Universe All-Time Comics. Resurrection, another Resurrection announcement. The Cable ongoing series from James Robinson and Carlos Pacheco.
Dang, they put Pacheco on this title?
Which I believe had one Matt Wayne kind of excited, if I remember correctly.
I mean, that's cool that James Robinson is on this too. So, right. You know, it's going to be a good, solid story. It's just, you know, I'm disappointed that they put Pacheco on Cable of all things. But I guess, you know, he can't do all the team books all the time.
All the books, all the time.
Yeah. All right.
And two of Marvel's greatest writers and artists to team for new Spider-Man title at the Clone Conspiracy event.
Interesting.
Yep. I think they talked about it in the letters page of Clone Conspiracy number 3. I read it somewhere.
Really?
Maybe it was the same article, but I remember reading it. Ed Brisson and Mike Perkins are launching an Iron Fist series.
Not to be confused with Iron Fists, which is the other one that's coming out. Yes,
which supposedly is still coming.
Right.
A Kickstarter for Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer, a graphic novel blending supernatural action with the true life of Harriet Tubman.
Oh, like Abraham Lincoln, vampire?
They mentioned that in the Kickstarter, so yes.
Oh, boy.
And Archie Comics teases little series from Baltazar and Franco.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it for the comics news.
And that leads us into our last ad read for the night. Help keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon. Visit cspn.us, then click the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From cspn.us, scroll down and click on the Amazon link to shop. Purchase items from Amazon as you normally would, whether it's books, music, electronics, jewelry, or apparel. For every purchase made on Amazon through our link, Amazon sends the CSPN a payment that helps keep the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles podcast free for our listeners at no extra cost to you. Amazon.com through CSPN.us. Do it today.
And make sure to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98 and at CBCron. RoddyCat is at RoddyCat and at NewsNerdsNeed.
And at CBCaps, Instagram.
There you go.
Agent 70 is at Agent_70 on Twitter and Instagram. And Dirt is at PCN_Dirt, PopCultureNetwork.com. And what is your page on Instagram?
On Instagram, it's Graham Comic Reviews.
Nice.
How's that been taking off for you so far?
It's not as quick a grow as Vine. Vine is really built on this idea that you're going to watch something and it's going to loop and you're going to see related things to go to. And Instagram is much more, you're following these people exactly specifically. It's much harder to cross-pollinate with.
I was about to say, it's a lot more like Twitter where it's like in your feed and it pops up and that's what you see.
Right. Although the one thing with Twitter though, is that someone responds, then you pop up along their feed. But just because someone likes your photo on Instagram or watches it or whatever, doesn't mean that it's showing up in the feed of the people who follow them. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a very different ecosystem. I'm not sure I like it, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Gotcha.
Okay. And again, reminder, we may not have a show next week, Rogue One. But we'll be sure to still read the comments for the week. And if we don't have a show, we'll just review those books in the following week.
We'll see.
And with that, we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!